This update of the HIMSS product is a big one. It's huge. Among other things, they upgraded the whole operating system. Let me start by saying first that this update is probably the most significant change to the firmware of the BS6 since it came out. The most notable enhancement is the change from Android operating system version 10 to version 12. You might think, well, you know, why is this important? And the main reason it's important is because technology moves on. And one of the things that often hobbles note takers is that they get stuck using older operating systems that do not support some of the software that they're trying to develop and certainly don't support any third-party software of any kind. While version 12 is not the latest version of Android, it is a significant step up from version 10. And I think you'll find that some of the third-party applications work better. And we're going to get into that in a minute when Jeanette talks about using Kindle on a BS6. Before we do that, though, I want to play you the release notes from this update. I want to remind you that what we're going to try and do today is not a tutorial. So if you're looking for very specific how-tos on different features, you're not going to get that from this presentation. What I'm going to try to do is to cover a few of the highlights, because there really isn't going to be time to cover it all. But we'll start by giving you the release notes so you get an idea of how many changes have been made in this update.
Release note for Braille Sense 6 v2.0. General enhancements. 1. Upgrades the device to Android 12. 2. Adds a to-do list program in the organizer menu. 3. Adds Braille Sense games in the extras menu. 4. Adds an app installer to all apps, similar to what exists in the Sense Player, to help new users easily access some popular applications. 5. Adds an optional add-ons menu at the bottom of the main menu for easy access to the Sense Bible download, as well as a ChatGPT application. 6. New ChatGPT function is available as an optional download. Specific program enhancements. 1. General. Added the ability to dictate text and document editing areas, including word processor, notepad, and when writing an email message or subject line, hotkey is F4D. Changed the power off prompt to match what is currently in the Sense Player, now offering power off, restart, or cancel. Now, when you print from the email program, schedule manager, or address manager, you are prompted whether you want to use the Embosser or Android printing service. Printer. Fixed the problem where, when you connect a QWERTY keyboard, and input changes to computer Braille, output changes as well. Output should now remain in your chosen Braille grade. Visual UI improvements. Added icons to more quickly allow sighted assistants to identify content visually. 2. File manager. You can now install XAPK and APKS files directly from the file manager. These are often found on sites like APK Pure and APK Monk, as apps are now often packaged in bundles that are split on installation. You should now be able to properly view OneDrive folders above 400 items. 3. Word processor. You should now not receive the prompt to save a blank document. Autosave should now work on new documents. We fixed Braille cursor problems. 4. Word processor and notepad. Fixed the problem auto-saving to cloud drive files. Fixed the problem moving to next and previous documents when they include files from cloud drives. Fixed the problem opening some Google Docs files. 5. Email. Added a sort order option, located in tools options, allows you to set ascending or descending. The to field is now available when doing a search with space F. Added a permanent deletion menu item hotkey. This means that it will immediately delete the message rather than sending it to trash first. The hotkey is backspace D. Now, when you navigate between accounts in email with backspace 345 and backspace 126, your position in the mailbox will be remembered. Now, when you press enter on an attachment, you are prompted whether you want to save or open it. If you open it, it auto-saves to the downloads folder and opens in the associated application. If you choose save, you will now get the normal save as dialog. If you select multiple files, you will get the prompt as it has always been, asking which folder in which to save them. When writing a message, added a prompt to overwrite or add new file if you try to attach a file with the same name as a file already attached. Added priority importance designation when receiving email messages, if importance is set to anything other than normal. In the exchange message list, it is announced as you navigate, and is identified in Braille, with H for high and L for low when a message is opened. If the importance is anything other than normal, you will find it in the tab order. When writing a message, you now have the ability to set the importance level. We've now added flag status and the ability to set flag status in emails. When in the message list, to change the flag of the currently focused or selected message, press backspace enter. If a message is opened, you can change the checkbox in the tab order. Flags will sync with Imapunt Exchange, but will apply only internally for POP3, as no server synchronization occurs for POP3 accounts. Added an archive function to email. The hotkey is backspace A, or you can access this from the edit menu of the email program. Auto spell check should now also include the subject. Reply should now only have one redisplayed in the subject lines. Change the default server to IMAP in the Add Account dialog. Change the Advanced dialog to a tab order for consistency. Fix the problem of not receiving email and set to all in exchange. Please note, the limit is 1,000 messages, even if the mailbox contains more than that. Fix the problem where the name is not displayed when using MS Exchange. 6. Media Player. Audiobook folders are now treated as a single entity, with marks, time elements and exit positions applying to the folder as a whole, rather than individual files, as happens in normal media playlists. To use this function, please copy files or folders containing audiobooks to the audiobooks folder of the flash disk, SD card, or any connected USB drive, and use the open folder function from within the media player, enter F. You can now navigate by chapters if chapters exist in the file. Use 236 to move back a chapter, and 356 to move forward a chapter. You can now access the chapter list by choosing it from the menu, or by pressing backspace L. Files are now displayed in correct number order. M4B file playback is now supported. Marks should now be saved when entering sleep mode if you have set the media player to save exit marks. 7. Podcasts. You can navigate podcast files by chapter in the same manner as described in the media player above. You can access the chapter list in the podcasts app with enter L. Podcast episode files are now saved using the episode names. 8. Voice recorder. Fixed a problem where DAISY recordings were not built correctly for playing on other devices. 9. DAISY player. When reading a DAISY textbook, you can now change the reading voice, separately from your main TTS voice. Useful if you want to read a document in a different language, or simply want a specific TTS voice for the file you're reading. This setting is located in the voice settings dialog. 10. Document reader. When reading a document, you can now change the reading voice separate from your main TTS, in and located in the voice settings dialog. Fixed a problem where the headings list did not display in some EPUB documents. 11. Web browser. Fixed a problem where Dropbox links wouldn't download. 12. Wiki search. Fixed the problem displaying all wiki search content. 13. Sense dictionary. Fixed a problem where looking up certain words would result in truncated definitions. 14. Calculator. Fixed a problem where the history list did not match the calculator's operating braille code. 15. Voice options. We added Thai voices to the installation options on request. 16. Quick start guide. You can now access speech controls when the quick start guide is running. 17. Mobile screen reader. Added the ability to move to the item directly above and below your current position using space 2-3 and space 5-6. This streamlines navigation of apps that offer different categories of controls on different lines, such as Bartmobile and BBC Sounds. Added the ability to copy and append to the clipboard from third-party apps, even when an edit box is not active. It was possible before only in editing environments. Now, it will copy any selected text on the third-party app screen. The hotkeys are the standard Enter C and Enter P.
So as you can see, we've got an awful lot of stuff in there, and I think now you have somewhat of an idea why we're not going to try to cover it all today.
What capacity? What highest capacity SD card will the Braille Sense 6 take?
I think we have a 256 in ours, and depending on whether you have the mini or the
32 cell.
The mini will take the micro one, and the 32 cell will take the regular one.
Right.
And they both work.
We will go to the next segment here, which kind of deals with the big upgrade to the operating system. Android 12 definitely has made it easier to do some things in the BS6. And one of the neat things about having access to the operating system is that in addition to all of the programs that the BrailleSense itself has, you can do third-party apps as well. And one of them that Jeanette's going to talk about here is the Kindle app. So we're going to let her tell us what she's learned.
Just want to say, down the road somewhere in this recorder, a recording, I did make one mistake. To move forward by page is just .4. So for anyone who may or may not know that, when you hear it later in the recording, .4 goes backwards, but it's .4, not .4.
First thing you should know is that the Kindle app itself is hugely improved, and it may still need a little bit of work, but I was actually quite pleased with what I saw. You can use Kindle app with Braille only or with speech. Now, there are some differences that I will just kind of briefly touch on. The first thing is, if you use it with speech, you have a choice of using the Kindle speech or the speech on the hymns. And based on what I've seen, the hymns speech itself actually works quite a bit more consistently. But I haven't done enough experimenting with the text-to-speech to see if it is equally as good. What you would do is you would go into all apps, and then you can use first-letter navigation to go into Kindle. Once you are in Kindle, there are some commands you need to know. To stop the Kindle from talking, you will always hit backspace and enter. If you want to go to the end of whatever list you're in, like other commands and hymns, you're going to use .456 and space. And then you can go back by using .1 to get to L4 library. Once you have gotten to your library, you will be able to use first letter navigation there as well to get into your list of books. And if they're not downloaded, to download them, you're going to hit enter, and that will download the book, and then you'd hit enter again to get to the book. .4 will move you back a page. That's the .4 with the space bar. The space will move you forward a page. The biggest problem that I saw was when you get into the Kindle app and you're reading, all of a sudden it will stop when it's done reading the page. And you see things like press enter to activate or to go to the next page. Really, if you just keep pressing space again, eventually you will get past that information and you will be able to start reading again. If you decide you are going to read with Braille only, you would turn voice off on your hymns by using the backspace key and the F2 key. And then once you're in your book, and I would recommend waiting until you're in your book before you do all this, because it's easier to get through to the beginning of the book and through to the download with voice than it is with Braille. So once you have turned the voice off, you can actually read the Braille. And yes, you will see the press enter to activate and all that stuff. But if you just keep moving your panning buttons, which are on the side of the hymns, down, you will get to the next page. And it's pretty seamless. There's that little inconvenience of seeing those commands at the end of what is not really a full page. It's a Kindle position, and there are 3 or 4 of those per page. But you will eventually find your next set of reading, and you can continue and just read to your heart's content. One of the really cool things that I discovered is that if you go forward a page with your space bar or back a page with your .4 and you get to the beginning of the page and you want to copy this page because you want to use it for a reference in a Bible study, you can do so by selecting the page with the appropriate commands and then hit enter C, which will copy your page. And then you can leave your Kindle open, open up another file on your BS6. It should be a notepad file because that would be a text file. You can now paste from your clipboard with space V, and voila, your page is copied into another file. You can now go back to your Kindle file if you want to. You can alternate between your Kindle file and your notepad file. You can look up your references. You can save your notepad file. and you can go back to Kindle and continue reading with your chiclet keys to go down through, I call them chiclet keys or the Pianin keys, to go down through your document. Or you can turn your voice back on. And as I say, just do the space bar or you read forward a page and keep going. If you are reading with your voice on, it's a little more kludgy to get through those, press enter to activate and go to your next page, but it is doable and you do get a rhythm after a while. You can then get back to your library. You can close your book when you're done reading and you can get out of Kindle. The reason I am so excited about this is if you're participating in a book club and your book is on Kindle and you want references, it is a lot harder to copy a book part from Kindle on the iPhone than it was for me to do it on the BS6. So, greatly improved. Still a couple of glitches, but from my perspective, I think that they have made huge strides with Kindle, and the fact that I have installed the newest upgrade to Hims has helped as well, because the later version of Android has really, really, really improved the functionality. We have not been able to keep reading straight through Kindle books forever, and this is the first time that allowing third parties the option of copying from their files for reference use has worked and has been acknowledged as something that it's appropriate to do. Do I think Kindle is a great addition and a wonderful thing on the Hims? Absolutely. I will be using it in a study next week. And when I want to copy those files, I will go to my Kindle and that will be my place where I can copy the references I need as easily as a sighted person can.
The Android ecosystem takes some getting used to. It's very, very different than anything you've ever played with. It's doable, but at first you go into there and you just, it looks kind of clunky and it looks kind of strange. But if you stick with it long enough, you can get it to work. I have downloaded a few Android apps, including one for Sonos, one for Echolink, which is a program used by ham radio operators. I've downloaded one for my Blink cameras outside the house, and they all work. They're a little clunky, but they work.
Could you explain your...
I have cameras outside of my house to tell me when people are approaching any of the doors. And there's an app that I use on the iPhone, of course, that runs those. But I decided just for fun to see if there was an Android, a comparable Android app that I could run on my BrailleSense 6. And it turned out there was. I downloaded it, installed it, logged into my Blink account, and I was able to look at my cameras, turn the mic on and off, change settings, and do all that kind of thing. I don't use it often, but it's kind of neat to know that if I was ever in a pinch, that I could.
On the Visually Impaired and Blind Users Group website, pretty much if you go through year by year, and I want to say it was last year.
Yeah, I think it was. It was a year ago in the summertime, but I should hasten to point out that that was not a demo of the Android interface. That was a demo of the iPhone app, because at that time, I did have my BrailleSense 6, but I hadn't actually downloaded the Android app yet.
You could not have done it with the Android app at that point, I don't think, just because it wasn't updated enough.
Yeah.
You know, you'll get the idea as to what it is. And really, the biggest difference with the Android app is you have to get used to just the way it speaks about what functions are turned on and off. My advice is, as you're learning the Android, if you pay attention to the language and the consistency of it, and you're willing to be patient, you'll get it.
Yeah, I found that the biggest thing with that is I'll get into the middle of the app and I want to do something and I go, oh my God, I can't remember how to do it. And of course, at that point, you have to get back into the HIMSS help system, which is not easy to do from the Android app itself. You have to kind of go back to the main menu and get into help and look for the chapter that says use with third-party applications and then go find what you need. It's an adventure, but you know, if you really want to use the Android stuff, it's there, and it works better with version 12 than it ever did with anything else. Something in the podcast player and the games apps, which is a whole new. Let's tackle the email first. I want to talk about two significant changes in the email program. At least they are significant to me. One is that you can now sort messages in descending order. It used to be you had only one way to get the messages, and they went from oldest to newest, and there was nothing you could do about it. And I never liked that because I always liked to have my most recent messages up at the top of the heap and move down through them that way. So I'm glad that they put that enhancement in. I think that's a good, valuable addition. The other thing that I think you're really going to notice if you do any amount of email at all is that now when you delete a message, instead of returning you to the list of messages that you have, it goes out and fetches the message list again. And a lot of people apparently requested that. And in a way, I can see why. I guess if you want to constantly refresh your message list, that's a good thing. But it does add significantly to the time that it takes to get the message, because it takes a certain amount of time to delete the messages that you selected to delete. And then it has to go grab the message list again. And so you will notice that there is a delay. And unfortunately, that option is not configurable. I would like it to be. I think you ought to be able to pick and choose whether that works or not. But they didn't set that up in the options. And maybe they will in a future release. I don't know. The other thing that I want to say about the email program, and I really hope that they do this in a future release. They have not done it yet, but I would really like to see full support of HTML. As it stands right now, if you get an HTML message, you can open it up in the web browser. But that, to me, is not the same as full support. What I want to be able to do is I want it to behave the way Outlook does, where if you're reading an HTML message, it just acts exactly like it should, and you don't have to open the web browser or do anything else. You can click on links. You can do whatever you could normally do in HTML. And I think they will do it eventually. I've heard that there are plans to, but they haven't done it yet. Let's take a look at podcasts. In my opinion, one of the significant enhancements to the BS6 is the inclusion of chapters in the podcast app. Chapters are a relatively new feature in podcasting, and unfortunately, they're not supported in all podcast apps. I don't think, for instance, that Apple Podcast app supports chapters. I know that Overcast does. And now the podcast app on the BS6 does. And for those of you who don't know what the concept is, chapters allow you to move between the various sections of a podcast. Now, before the advent of chapters, what you had to do was, if you wanted to get from one part of the podcast to another, you either had to rewind or fast forward or do some sort of a seek back or seek forward if you were in Overcast. But with chapters, you can move directly to the section of the podcast that you want to hear, if in fact that's supported by the podcaster themselves. One of the podcasts that does support chapters is Jonathan Mosen's Living Blindfully. And of course, we know, you know, Jonathan being a very advanced techie guy would take advantage of this feature as soon as it became available. So I'm in the podcast app right now, and I'm going to start the podcast, and then I'm going to go to the chapter navigation. Now, in the BS6, the hotkey for moving forward chapters is .356 on the Braille keyboard. And the key for moving back chapters is .236. So we'll start the playback, and then I will move through the chapters using the forward keystroke.
Play.
From Wellington, New Zealand to the world, it's Living Blindfully, living your best life with blindness.
If you've been listening to Living Blindfully for a while, and also its predecessor, The Blind Side, the name Paul Paravano will be familiar to you. It's with profound regret that I let you know that in December, and there are some updates to the things that we talk about on Living Blindfully that I wanted to mention. First, Zoom recorders are of interest. We've featured a few of them on this podcast. I believe we've talked in depth about the F3. I still miss Castro from its heyday, and I know a number of others do as well. So we've been following the dead again, alive again story of Castro with Summon.
So, as you can see, each time I press the .356, we got a little gap in the audio, and that was us moving to the next chapter. I really think this is a great feature, and I'm glad that they are fully supporting it. One of the things that they added to the extras menu is the games part of it, and so we're going to talk about that now. Up until the most recent version of the BS6 firmware, one of the things that was missing was the BrailleSense games section. And I'm happy to tell those of you that are game enthusiasts that it is back in the new version. Shows up in the extras submenu. And we have three games. We have something called Brain Games, something called Dice Games, and something called Roulette Games. So let's look at the Brain Games first, and of course one of the things that's always kind of nifty is the sound effects. So here's Brain Games.
Memory Game M1/6.
Okay, so the first of the games in the Brain Games is the Memory Game. And then we have
Reverse Game R2/6.
Reverse Game.
Chase a Criminal T3/6.
Chase a Criminal.
Multiplication Table M4/6.
Multiplication Table.
View Ranking O5/6.
And View Ranking, and I'll get into that in a minute.
Exit Z6/6.
And the exit, which kind of threw me the first time I saw it, because I wasn't expecting the exit to be one of the menu options. But okay, they did it. You can still get out with a Z chord if you want to, so that works like it always has. Let's look at the memory game first.
Memory game M1/6. Memory game M1/6. When the game starts, numbers and slasher letters will be displayed randomly. Remember the numbers and slasher letters and type them in order within the designated time. Press space to repeat this message or enter to start the game.
Okay, and that's kind of helpful, because if you didn't quite get the message, of course you can repeat it if you need to. We're not going to do that. So we'll press enter to start the game, and I will attempt to type the answers.
Select stage. Select stage, stage 1/5.
Okay, we have different levels here. They call them stages. I'm not sure why, but that's what they're doing. So we'll take the first one, being the simplest ones for simple minds like mine.
Start game. 1, 9, 8. Type the answer. Type the answer.
Now, you're given a certain amount of time to do this, and I'm going to just ignore this and show you what happens if we wait one long enough.
Time's up.
And, of course, I waited too long.
Your score is 1. Type your user ID to register the ranking. Register your ranking dialog. ID.
Now, if I wanted to keep track of how brilliantly I've been doing in this game, I could register my ranking, as they say. And they ask you for your user ID, and I guess the idea is if you had that feature set up on your BS6, you could use that ID to keep track of your own ranking versus maybe somebody else's who's playing with the same unit and has a different user ID. I don't have a user ID because I never set it up, so I'm just going to...
Successfully registry. Do you want to play again? Yes.
Now, kind of interesting here. One of the things that happens with HIMS updates is that we are once again confronted with a mixture of not very good English, what they used to call Japanglish. But since this is made, since this device is made in Korea, I don't know what the equivalent would be. But anyway, it's what happens when Korean questions get translated into not very good American English. And I don't think we want to play this game anymore, so we'll just say no.
Memory game M1/6.
And we'll go on to...
Reverse game R2/6.
Well, reverse game is like memory game, but I think there may be different music. Let's see.
When the game starts, numbers and slash or letters will be displayed randomly. Remember the numbers slash letters and type them in reverse order within the designated time. Press space to repeat this message or enter to start the game.
And we could do that, but basically it's like the memory game, except that you're going to put in the numbers in reverse order. So let's go on to something else that's a little bit different. We'll exit out of this.
Memory game M1/6.
Okay, now some real excitement here for all of you folks that like this kind of thing. We're going to chase a criminal.
When the game starts, you are told the floor where the criminal hides and the criminal will go up or down any number of floors to avoid being caught. Type the floor and numbers where the criminal is hiding within the designated time. Press space to repeat this message or enter to start the game.
Now, it's a little bit unclear what they mean by that. And I think what they mean is that you'll start out on a floor and it'll say a certain amount of up and downs. And when it stops, you have to figure out what floor the criminal is on, and I'm going to assume that's what it does, and we'll see if it works that way.
Select stage. Select stage, stage 1/5.
Yeah, let's keep it simple again for simple minds.
Start game. There is the criminal on the 9th floor. Whoops, ran away. Up. Up. Spit down. Spit down. Spit down. They type the answer.
And I think it's 8. Hey! Oh boy, am I good.
There is the criminal on the 7th floor. Whoops, ran away. Down. Down. Spit up. Spit down. Spit up. Spit type the answer.
I think it's 6. I'm going to try my luck here. Hey, this could get addicting.
There is the criminal on the 5th floor. Whoops, ran away. Down. Spit up. Spit down. Spit up. Spit down. Spit type the answer.
And I'm going to type a wrong answer because I want to get out of this game now. So I'll type 3.
Wrong. Your score is 3. Type your user ID to register the ranking. Registry ranking dialog. ID.
And I'm so proud of myself that I'm going to register this one, so I'm just going to hit enter.
Successfully registry. Do you want to play again? Yes.
Eh, let's not. We got better things to do here.
Multiplication table M4/6.
Multiplication table is pretty easy. They give you 2 numbers and you have to multiply them. Let's see what the music sounds like.
When the game starts, 2 arbitrary numbers will be given. Listen carefully and type the result by multiplying the 2 numbers. Press space to repeat this message or enter to start the game.
Okay, and I think you get the idea of that one, so we'll get out of that.
Memory game M1/6.
And then we'll go to number 5.
JSON multiple view ranking of 5/6.
Okay, now this is where we could view the rankings that I've accumulated in the different games. And again, I don't think it's necessary to do that. You get the idea. So let's exit from this brain game and take a look at the other two games.
Sense dice game I.
Okay, we have a dice game. We'll try that.
Please select the number of dice. Select the number of dice. 1 die, 1/4.
I got to give it to them. They come up with some pretty goofy sound effects for this thing. Let's put 3 dice in here.
Select the number of dice. 2 dice is 2/4. Select the number of dice. 3 dice is 3/4.
3 dices. I didn't know dices was the plural of dice. I thought dice was the plural of dice, but what do I know? I'm only a native English speaker.
3 number of dice is selected. Ready. Press enter or shake device.
Now, I puzzled over this prompt a little bit until I realized that if I wanted to, I could actually move the whole BS6 and it would shake the dice. But I'm not going to do that because I kind of have it balanced on my lap. And if I start moving it around, I'm going to be whacking into the keyboard and some other things. So I'm just going to press enter to shake the dice.
One, four, three, press space or enter to go on.
Now, I don't know what the idea of this is. I mean, you keep shaking the dice, and if I go on here, we'll see what happens.
Ready. Press enter or shake device.
Okay, so I'm going to press enter again.
Two, three, five, press space or enter to go on.
But that's all it seems to do. So, you know, this has got to be something you do when you're really bored, because it doesn't look like there's any way to win or lose the game. You just keep shaking dice and getting different numbers. So let's exit from this one. Okay, and now we'll go on to the last of the three
Sense roulette game art.
Types of games, which is the roulette game.
Start.
And we'll start the game.
Wow! One winning.
Well, I don't know what I won, but I won one. Let's try it again.
Wow! Two winning.
Okay.
Two winning.
So, again, I don't really know what the point is here, but that's the new games. For all of those of you who are game enthusiasts, have at it. All I can say is, Vegas it ain't.
I think we should have seen your rankings, Steve. I would like to, I'm sort of curious how many times you played this.
Well, they were pretty rank. I think I had one for one of the games and two for one of the other ones, because I didn't play any more than I did to just set up the demos. But
sound effects are great. It's pretty funny, yeah. I can see me playing this on a flight.
That
drives the whole place crazy, you know, hearing this.
And if you're wearing headphones, you get a beautiful stereo. You know, what more could we ask?
Now, it sounded like it only had four dice. Is that the most I could have? Because I think there's a game. I think there's Yahtzee. I think it has 5 dice. So you might be able to play Yahtzee or something with it. But I think it needs 5 die.
You guys been to the Bronx, and the Bronx, dice is a real word.
Is it?
We're shooting dices all night.
How many dice do you need for craps? Do you play two dice, or is it, I don't know. I haven't played it, so.
You need two of them, yeah.
You need, so you can play craps with this thing, and you know, and the roulette. It is curious what that was all about.
But if you're going to play craps with it, you have to figure out how you're hacking it so they're loaded dice.
I want to thank you all for listening to me and Jeanette. And it was kind of fun to do this.
Thank you so much.